So is there anyone among us who is not familiar with the famous rock group, the Beatles? Anybody? Even though their illustrious career began over 50 years ago, it's interesting to me that even today's teenagers are aware of the music the Beatles created. I wonder if those four young men from Liverpool had a clue, as they were performing in small little pubs, the impact their music would have on generations to come. Their first hit in England was Love Me Do. Remember that one? Love, love me do, you know I love you, so please love me too. Remember that? Karaoke, here I come. But if we look at the biblical story of God and God's people, these few words encapsulate one of the central themes of the relationship between these two main characters. God creates, God gives, God loves with a deep and abiding love, and people walk away and then come back, and walk away and then come back. But God's love never fades. And among other famous Beatle hits, The Long and Winding Road could certainly be the theme song of the people of Israel. The long and winding road that leads to your door will never disappear. I've seen that road before, and it always leads me here. Lead me to your door. The journey that began for the slaves in Egypt indeed was long and winding. A dramatic escape through the Red Sea, 40 years in the desert. Finally, they make it to the land that God had promised them, and they are invaded not only by the Babylonians, but the Assyrians. Forced into exile, they are alone and afraid. The only thing that keeps them going is their memory of the road that brought them to that land in the first place, the road that God had provided for them. The book of Deuteronomy, let me just be a little, take a little literary license here, is in a sense an ancient rendition of this Beatles classic. In Genesis, we have the stories of the beginning of creation and of people. In the Exodus, we read of how God delivers his broken people from their bondage. Leviticus and Numbers are the rule and ancestry books, which teach this people how to live a faithful life. Then we come to Deuteronomy, my favorite book, which may appear on the surface as a simple recounting of the Exodus story. But the truth is, Deuteronomy came to its completion well after the exile of the Israelites, generations after the Exodus. After the war and the destruction, after their years in a land that was not their own, after they returned down that long and winding road once again, the road that they remembered always leads them home. It is in Deuteronomy that the people are reminded how their journey began, who it was who delivered them, how it was they disobeyed God, and how their lives were finally filled with a promise. It was this very long and winding road that kept them alive. Their temple was destroyed. They were separated intentionally from people they knew and a community from which they drew comfort. And the next verse of this Beatles song could also have very well been the Israelites' thoughts while so far away from home. The wild and windy night that the rain washed away has left a pool of tears crying for the day. Why leave me standing here? Let me know the way. The book of Deuteronomy also reminds this chosen people the reason they were overcome by foreign lands and lost everything God had provided for them. They were disobedient, plain and simple. Remember last week we talked about the only way God will bless us is when we love God and are obedient to God. Once these folks settled into their home and became comfortable, suddenly they began doing things their own way. Suddenly they forgot that God blessed them so they would be a blessing to others. and began living a life that would bless themselves. They deliberately turned their back on the one God who had provided everything for them, loved them and protected them, and began worshiping other gods. And then, when all was lost, they cried out to God like a teenager who had returned home from a night of destructive partying, saying, "Well, okay, I did it, but it's over now. Don't leave me standing here in my mess. Save me. Bring me home where life is good." And the song continues, "Many times I've been alone, and many times I've cried. And anyway, you'll never know the many times I've tried." And as that teenager now attempts to convince their parents, "Look, I get it, I've screwed up. Don't you think I have suffered enough? I try to be good. I try to obey. I really, really do, but it's hard. And it's all of this other stuff, all of these other people that make it so hard." What allows this out-of-control, disobedient teenager, which, by the way, could be any out-of-control, disobedient adult. I don't mean to pick on teenagers. But what allows them to even approach their parent with this ridiculous line of nonsense is because they know with confidence they have been taken back before. They have experience turning away from what they know are the rules for happiness and safety, but have also experienced the love of a parent who wants them to be safe and happy and will let them try again. The conversation continues just like the song. "Come on, don't leave me standing here. Lead me to your door. Do what you have done before. Be faithful, be constant, be loving once again, and bring me back to where I know I am loved and forgiven." And the story might very well end right here. The parent may simply invite the wayward child back into their arms, and all will be well in the world again until the next time. And this is where our scripture for today is very clear and almost frightening. Here is where tough love for God's people comes in full force. Moses reminds his ordinance, on no uncertain terms, they now have a choice, and that choice is life or death. Yes, God brought them home, home to the land they know, and they have received yet another opportunity to try again. But as any good parent who wants their child's behavior to change for the better, who wants them to learn responsibility, who wants their life to be solid and secure, Moses tells the Israelites, there are consequences for your actions. There are no excuses. God will indeed bless them, and bless them abundantly, but only if they choose to. To choose anything else is guaranteed destruction. These are hard words to hear, and they are not the words we want to hear from God. We want the soft, fuzzy, lovey stuff. But the truth is, there are consequences for our actions. So the scripture tells us this recipe for success. We hit on this a little bit last week. Love the Lord your God. Seems easy enough. Walk in God's ways. Put others before yourself. Listen to God before you listen to other human beings. Observe God's commandments. Do what's right. No cheating. No stealing. That sort of thing. And if we do these things, the result will be our life will be good. The Lord will bless us, and we will have a future. Sounds good. But the text also reminds us that if we turn our heart away from God, and if we choose not to listen to God's word and serve other gods, such as our bank accounts, our work, our family, or ourselves, we are guaranteed that we will die. I want to caution us this morning not to take these words too lightly. We may be tempted to say, "That's easy. I love God. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. I obey the commandments. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't stolen anything. I am faithful to those I love. I can check off the list. I've got it. I'm good. But we ourselves cannot be like that overconfident teenager and think all we have to do is crawl back to God whimpering and all will be well. These words of Moses to us today require us to make a choice and stand by it. The choice we need to make is God and God alone. And this means complete obedience in every decision of our lives. Did you know that each human being makes 612 decisions a day? That adds up to over 254,000 decisions a year. Some decisions we make without thinking about them, such as our morning routine. We might wake up, take a shower, have our morning coffee. It's a routine. We do it regularly, but we do it as a conscious decision that we have decided works for us. And Moses means every single decision. Every decision we make, no matter how small, should be made out of the love that God has for us because God first loved us. Wouldn't you love it as a parent if your children made every decision just because they loved you and trusted you rather than filling in their own wants and desires? How awesome would that be? Being obedient to God, though, is not only being nice. It's not only being good and going to church and helping others. Being obedient to God means asking God, how should I live my life? Then listening and doing it. What kind of job should I have? One that I want or one that God has called me to? Where should I live? What kind of home should I have? What clothes should I buy? Should I buy the clothes I desire, or should I think about buying clothes that were made by people who were being paid a fair wage for their labor and being treated fairly by their employers? What kind of food should I buy? There are many things that we make every day and we need to ask ourselves. When we go to work, how do we treat our fellow workers? How do we decide what contractor to do the upgrades on our home? Should we buy those things that have fallen off the back of the truck? If you're squiggling in your seat and you're feeling a bit uncomfortable and wondering when I'm going to stop poking you, good. This is the goal of this text. It's meant to poke you. You can certainly choose not to do any of these things. Choices are a wonderful gift that God has given us. But remember, it is exactly our choices that define who we are. And we don't have to be a criminal or an addict to make the wrong ones. God has made it clear to us. God wants us to have a good and abundant life. But that life will only be realized when we give up the desires of our own heart and focus on God's desires. Not only for us, but for the world. God will bless us to be a blessing to others. And these words are not only true for us as individuals, but also true for us as a church. They are true for us at Cornerstone, and they are true for us denominationally. While as a congregation, we have many things to be concerned about for our existence, Moses tells us to be obedient to what God desires for us. This does not mean we should not be concerned about our finances, our ability to hire staff that will lead us and programs to grow our faith. What it does mean is that we turn our eyes and hearts to God first, listen carefully, and have the faith to do what it is that God is calling us to do. While we have churches within our denomination who cannot agree scripturally on how same-sex relationships should be handled, we destroy each other, the church universal, and act as though we have the power to withhold the love of God from those who do not obey in the ways which we feel are appropriate. I ask you to consider whatever your views on the subject. What would it look like if this were how God to treat each of us? If every time we made a choice that God did not agree with, God threw us away and said, I refuse to acknowledge you. Yes, the scripture tells us to choose anything, but God is death. I don't think Moses is talking about a physical death. Moses is referring to separation from God. A life that is not blessed by God is a life that is guaranteed to be alone and unhappy. Those of us who have decided what occupation should be on our own, who spend our fortunes on ourselves, who turn our ear away from the cries of the hungry and the homeless, who think our needs must come first, are dooming ourselves to be left standing out on the road of our own making. And just like our children, we don't much like to accept the consequences of our actions. Lord knows the Israelites didn't either. But lucky for us, we have that memory of that road that does lead us home, that leads us to God and all that is good for us. It is right in front of us, and all we have to do is make the choice to go back and start walking. And if we go back to that famous Beatles song, and still they lead me back to the long and winding road, you left me standing here a long time ago. Don't leave me waiting here. Lead me to your door. I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if we had a biblical GPS, kind of like Mary's tuner? On my way to Tent City yesterday, I was coming from Philadelphia, and my lack of understanding of the GPS does not allow me to put in the route the way it should be. So from Philadelphia, it wants to take me this long, convoluted way. And I wasn't exactly sure where to go. So I said it and thought, I'm going to go my way. And for an hour, guess what I heard?
Recalculating.
For an hour. But I continued to make the turns, and eventually the little person in the box agreed with me and stopped telling me to recalculate. But I thought, how cool would it be if every time we made a choice against God, we had that audible voice that said, recalculate. And friends, I say to you today, as Mary so beautifully pointed out in her children's sermon today, use the book of Deuteronomy as your own biblical GPS. It will keep you on the road to blessing and keep you from a road that leads to death. And so what will you choose today? Amen.
Let's rise and sing our closing hymn.